لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، بارئ الخلائق أجمعين، خالق السماوات والأرضين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على عبده ورسوله وحبيبه وصفيه أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين الذي سمي بالقرآن بطه وياسين والمزمل والمدثر أبي القاسم محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين المنتجبين لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين الروح وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء ولعنة الدائم الأبدية على أعداء مجمعين من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتاب الحكيم وقرآن المجيد وهو أصدق القائلين وقوله الحق. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. صدق الله العلي العظيم. صلوات محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
الحمد لله and all praises to Allah سبحانه وتعالى who has given us this opportunity to remind ourselves about the teachings of Quran and Ahlul Bayt, and remind ourselves about the virtues and attributes of Imam Hussain alayhi salam and his companions. To remind ourselves that wherever we are and whatsoever time we are passing through, all challenges, all sort of challenges we can face if we are able to adapt the principles laid down by Imam Hussain alayhi salam. The principles of Imam Hussain alayhi salam has the universality for the entire mankind, and one of his principle was not to bow down against the injustice, not to surrender to the tyrant people and the tyrant rulers. We being the flag bearers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we being the flag bearers of Quran and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, we have the responsibility to steadfast, and that steadfastness cannot be achieved by us until and unless our foundation is strong. Foundation, that is our belief in monotheism, our belief in oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our beliefs in all what Allah has revealed on His Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. We should have iman, absolute iman, on whatsoever Allah has revealed on His Prophet. We should have complete and absolute iman on what Allah has revealed in His book. Allah has mentioned as a sign of a hypocrisy or hypocrite that they believe يؤمنون بالبعض ويكفرون بالبعض, that hypocrites are those who believe in some of the teachings of Quran, some of the teachings of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt, and ignore the other. We should take the entire teachings and try to practice according to that. We should strive for it. Although at times we feel that we are not able to practice completely, but our direction should be on the same path. We should strive for it. We should try to encounter internal satanic and lustful and wrongful ideas and wishes we develop. We should fight our carnal souls, and we should try to take the challenges which come across in our lives, in our daily work, maybe at school, at college, at our workplace, at home. These are the continuous fight with the satanic ideas and the satanic culture which has been created around us all over the world. It was from the beginning, from the time of Hazrat Adam alayhi salam till the time of the last prophet, and from his time, that is from the time of Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salatu wasalam, till this time of the 12th Imam, a mu'min has to face the challenges, has to encounter the challenges which come across in his life. This is the test for which Allah has created, and Allah will reward for that. As mentioned last night, that the biggest reward is the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of the beautiful thing in history, which shows us that how strong belief is, a person can have that belief. Especially when person is left alone in some calamity, there are some natural calamities at times, that person feel very much challenged, very much in difficult situation, and no one is there to help him. But there was a lady in history which was asking the same question from his husband, from her husband. When her husband left her in a deserted place called Makkah, and that lady was Hazrat Hajra. When Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam left her in that deserted place where there was no food, where there was no water. It's been mentioned in his historic books that she asked that to whom I should go, on whom I should depend, why you are leaving me alone, and these type of words she asked from Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam. But Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam did not reply to her. She asked thrice, and then she replied herself, "Okay, there is no one except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." And at that time, Hazrat Ibrahim turned his face towards her and said, "Yes, there is no one else to help you except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." Just think about it. Just visualize that. There is no person over there. There is no living creature over there. There is no food. There is no plant. There is nothing. No water. Hazrat Ibrahim brought her over there and left near the house of Allah. House of Allah. He just left without saying a word that why I'm leaving you over here. What was the strength of Hazrat Hajra and also Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam? It was their belief and trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We depend on each other. Husband and wife depend on each other. Children depend on their parents and so on. But in history, Allah has shown us the example where there is nothing which is called as a sustain on which that lady, alone lady, can live and spend few days. And that was the time, if we recall that time, we can strengthen our beliefs in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There was no one else. There was nothing. And similarly, we find these type of challenge situations at many times. Yet another time was the time when Imam Hussein came to his camp for his second and his last farewell. Has Zainab asked the same question? "Oh, my beloved brother, who is the one who's going to take care of us?" And Imam said, "It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who is going to take care of you." And we can see the conviction and belief of Hazrat Zainab salamullah alayha, that when Yazid asked her that how you found that event which occurred in Karbala, that the family members were being brutally killed over there and you were being taken as slaves and prisoners of war, how you found that? As Zainab said, that "I haven't seen anything from Allah except His magnificence and beauty." That is the belief and conviction of Hazrat Zainab salamullah alayha. How we can strengthen our beliefs in Allah? Besides these philosophical and logic reasonings, Allah has sent His signs, His miraculous personalities and creations in the form of prophets and apostles and imams and their family members, that when we go through their lives and read and study and ponder and reflect, we can understand that there is God, there is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which help people not only to survive in this world. Surviving in this world is not a big deal. It's not a big deal. Surviving in this world in a manner to achieve excellence and perfections and to seek the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that ultimately And hereafter, we can get the pleasure of Allah. And Allah may place us in the best of the place which He has created for believers. It's been said in many places that how to believe, there is no God, there is no Allah, there is no Creator. I will just narrate one of the conversations between our sixth Imam, Imam Jafar Sadiq alayhi salam. One of his companions, when he asked that what if there is no God? What if there is no Allah? What if there is no reward and punishment after life? Whatever Quran is saying and prophets were telling us and teaching us in all these years, suppose if there is nothing, then what? Imam gave a very logical answer for the people who can think and ponder and reflect on it. This saying is sufficient to be a believer in Allah, believer in the oneness of Allah. Imam said, there is two possibilities. One is what Quran has said or the prophets has said is true, or the second possibility is untrue. So if it is true, you have performed according to the teachings of Quran and teachings of prophets. And suppose if it was untrue, no harm has been done in this life. That's you have practiced in a moral manner. You have spent your life in a moral manner without going and after lustful desires. Your life have been disciplined by these teachings. So if even there is a doubt in the minds of some people and youngsters that there is no God, there is no reward and punishment, then they should go and read and study this hadith of Imam alayhi salam and reflect on that, that if we practice according to the teachings of Quran, these revelations, according to the lifestyles given to us as a role model by our imams, we are successful in this world. And if there is hereafter, as has been said, we will be successful in that world as well. And if there is nothing after life, we have not lost anything. We haven't wasted our lives. We have spent in a manner which is this most modest way. Can you recite Salawat Muhammad wa Alayhi
Muhammad?
In Surah Fatiha, when we say Iyyaka na'budu wa Iyyaka nasta'in, as mentioned last night, that we should be, our focus is to seek the pleasure, to be obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we are obedient to our parents, it should be because Allah has asked us. If we are good to our brothers and sisters, good to our neighbors, good to our friends, it is because Allah has asked us to be good to them. So even if Allah has not asked, being good to our neighbors and friends is something which is very much desirable and good. Yes. And that's what Quran is saying. that whatever I am teaching you is based on the human logic and rationality. So the teaching is Quran as per the nature of the human creation. That's why there are many, many things we will find in Quran and the teachings of the prophets and Ahlul Bayt based on logic and rationality. And that's what we are saying. It's nothing which may differ to a pure mind. Yes, at times our minds are distracted. Our minds are surrounded with certain ideologies, certain isms, and it's been influenced by certain things. So it becomes a little bit challenging for us to understand the logic of Quran. But even those Arabs, those arrogant and tyrant Arabs, you know what they used to say to each other? Don't go to Muhammad, don't listen to Muhammad. He recites something which comes into our heart directly, which changes us. My dear, these words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are the factor, are the verses which can change us into a pure, logical and rational human being. It can bring us from darkness towards the light of guidance. It can bring us out of that sinful life towards the purity, sincerity and dedication towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is the ignorance. Ignorance is the main factor of the failure of Muslims. Ignorance to the teachings of Quran and Ahlul Bayt is the main factor, not for the downfall of Muslims only, but for the entire mankind. We go and read every author, every other author. We read fiction, we read science, we read culture. We read many, many books except Quran. Why? My question is to myself. Why? Why I am so ignorant to this book which has not been changed, amended in these 1400 years. Quran is the only book on the surface of the earth which has not been changed and cannot be changed. People tried to change it several times in history, but they were unsuccessful. So isn't it surprising? We can read a book of fiction based on Jewish methodology about Harry Potter. Many youngsters who have grown up, they must have read the first Harry Potter book for maybe 4, 5, 6, 7 times. I know someone who has read Harry Potter first book 7 times. So they were people. We are ready to read these type of things. It doesn't have any value in our life, which cannot teach us anything. These type of books do not give us any principle or value-based life system. These are just fictions. But the Quran, which is true and based on the human nature, the teaching of Quran is for humanity to bring and uplift the human life, to bring up the human society to the level where they can be called a pure human beings. Kindly recite Salawat Muhammad wa Ali.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
Based on Tawheed. Based on Tawheed. We need to go through it. As I mentioned in the beginning of my speeches two nights back, we need to go and ponder. This is just a motivational speech to bring us and motivate us to go and dig out the main teachings about the monotheism and the differences and the arguments and the proofs which has been given. And then it's just not by reading. We need to reflect. We need to think. We need to ponder. We need the guidance. We need to go through it again and again and again. As I mentioned last night about the first sermon of Nahjul Balagha, it is a must syllabus for us. It is a must syllabus for our lives. We being the follower of Amir al-Mu'mineen, we are ignorant to Nahj al-Balagha. What is Nahj al-Balagha? Sayings, suggestions, recommendations, and guidance from Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salatu wa salam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
We say, if Ali, you have been here, We have been with you. When Nahjul Balagha is over here, we are not with Nahjul Balagha. We just claim. When we recite Ziyarat-e-Waris, we say, if we have been in Karbala, O Imam Hussein, we have been with you. What is the proof that we are with Imam Hussein alayhi salam? If we are not following his footsteps, we are saying hayhat minna dhilla, hayhat minna dhilla, that we are far away from insult, we are far away from being insulted, and again we are happy to live in a society or in a manner in which we are insulting ourselves. And if we are following the same footsteps of not Imam Hussein, but his opponent Yazid, our lifestyles which we have adopted in our homes, it's not the lifestyles of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. It was the lifestyle of Yazid. It was the lifestyle of Muawiyah. It was the lifestyle of these type of tyrants of Bani Umayyah and Bani Abbas. We are happy to live the lifestyle of Bani Umayyah and Bani Abbas, and then we say our hearts, we are the followers. It is the same way the Farazdak said. When Farazdak, one of the poets, famous poets, he was coming from Kufa, and Imam Hussain alayhi salam was heading towards Kufa, so they met in between. Imam alayhi salam asked Farazdak, what is the situation in Kufa? Farazdak said, Imam, their hearts are with you, but their swords are with Yazid or Ibn Ziyad. Just try to evaluate ourselves. Just evaluate ourselves. Where do we stand? No doubt our hearts are with Imam Hussein alayhi salam. If somebody says that we should not mourn for the sorrowful event of Karbala, we will die for it, because we love Imam Hussein alayhi salam. But this, if somebody asks us, and Imam Hussein asks us, that the way I have spent my life, The way I have strived to be closer and nearer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you may strive 2% of it, 1% of it. We say, Mawla, over here we surrender, we cannot do it. That's what Imam said in one of his sermons on his way, that الدين لأكن على ألسنتهم, that deen, religion, is on the tip of their tongues. They just change it. They just mutilate it. They just want to change the way. No, Imam has given us this relaxation. Imam has this, compare yourself with the teachings. Just throw things just like that without knowing. We don't go through the hadith, we don't go through the teachings of Ahlul Bayt, and just we say they have allowed us. No, we need to ponder, we need to think. I just met before Ramadan. I traveled here in US after mid of Ramadan, so a few days before traveling, I met a very learned person. And he was in one of the multinational companies, Siemens and so on. Very nice post. They have transferred him to New Jersey. He was here for a couple of years or so, as he said. And then he came back to Pakistan. Like migrated back to Pakistan, we can say. I asked why everyone loves to go to US and live over there. You have been learned, you have been given a very good place, you have been same, you are carrying the same status, because he was been placed in Germany, in Pakistan and some other place, and a good status was been given to him. So he said, initially I loved over there, that it was peaceful, green, good, you know, everything was. Then after a year, started thinking that why I am sitting over here? What I am doing over here? What is the mission of my life? I am not saying that all of you leave this country. Just telling you one thing. He reminded me that I should also think about it again and again. Is that what is the purpose of my life? What is the purpose of my life? Just to earn good, live in a good place, have a relaxed environment, just go for a ziyarat and some other places to enjoy, do umrah, hajj, and that's it. A religious sort of a vacation or relaxation visits to these places, and that's it. This is our life. We need to think. In days, nights to come, we will discuss more about it. But just asking you and trying to provoke you, that before we discuss from pulpit, you should also try to think. And maybe in a session which we will have, Q&A session somewhere, I don't know, but before the 10th of Muharram, I hope to get some good questions and good answers from yourselves. We will have a dialogue, we will have a discussion, but the thing is, we should think, what is the purpose of our life? How should we spend? Imam Sayyidu Sajideen Zainul Abideen Ali ibn al-Husayn alayhi salam. I can't hear this sort of salawat. What is it? Imam said that when we have been taken in the darkness of our graves, the question will be asked, from where you are coming and what you have done in your life. Maybe you say, Maybe we will say that, yes, we earned halal, we gave khums, zakat, charity, sadaqat, and we spend it as we wanted. Malaik will say, angels will say, no, you are not supposed to spend as per your desire and lust. Even if your wealth is halal and you have purified it from khums, zakat, charity and sadaqah, but that pure and halal wealth should be spent in a place where Allah is giving you permission. We cannot buy alcohol from a halal wealth. We cannot buy a pork from halal thing. We cannot spend it in casino or something like that. It should be spent the entire life. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. That we belongs. Inna. Indeed we. Lillahi. We belongs to Allah. We do not belong to ourselves. We belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we belongs to Him, how we can decide what to do? When our children, when they are kids, what we say, they belongs to me. So whenever they want to do something, mother says, go and ask your father. At times, father says, go and seek permission from your mother. These children who do not, in actual sense, do not belong to us. They are our responsibility. But they belong to Allah. But again, they are seeking our pleasure. They are seeking our permission to do things. And we, who in actual sense, we belong to Allah and we do not seek any permission from Allah. We do whatever we like. Whether it's right or wrong. Whether it's good or bad. Whether that act may bring the pleasure of Allah to us or take us away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Can we recite Salawat Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad? Another thing is the justice of Allah. Allah is just. One of the reasons that Allah is just, there are two things about the justice of Allah. One, that Allah has established a system of rewards and punishment. Life does not end over here. It will continue to another world. That's why we have been said, transfer. We transfer from here to other world. Just when we come to the, which we say word, intiqal. Intiqal means transfer. When we say what happened to that person has died. That he has been intiqal. In Farsi, intiqal, in az ye jo be jo digar raftan. Urdu mein mar jana, in ek jagah se dusri jagah chala jana, transformation from here to another world. Just to make a little bit this dry session, one of our friends, common friend, which we have, me and Dr. Abu Ali as well, we had an Iranian friends way back. They used to come and study medicine and engineering, different fields in Pakistan. One of my friends, he asked to the Iranian friend that, where is that Ali? I don't know what was his name. Where is Ali? He said, uska intiqal ho gaya. He has intiqal. He's in muntaqil. has been left place. So when he used word in Farsi, in Teqal, so he said he died. Oh, when he died, what happened to him? So he said he did not die, he's transferred from this place to another place. We use word intiqal from to be transferred. So the intiqal is the word to be transferred from one world to another, one place to another. It is the generosity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that when Allah gives something, He doesn't take it back. When Allah has given us life, He is not going to take us back. Take this life back from us. Then when, how we are going to die? Our death is to be transferred from this world to another. We will live barzakh. We will be living in barzakh. We will be living in barzakh. We will be living hereafter. Regardless, it's in paradise or in hell. But life will continue and so on. خَالِدُونَ فِيهَا أَبَدًا Quran says that life will continue forever. For it's the generosity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When He gives something, He doesn't take it back. So the rewards, whatever we do over here, whatever we sacrifice over here, we will get it reward as a reward over there. So at many places, like for charity, if you give $1 over here, in some of the hadiths and what Quranic verse has been said, you will get 10 times to that charity. 10 times to the charity. And in some other places, it's been said, you will get more than 70 times. 70 is the word for exaggeration. Of infinity, 70, that means you will get infinite rewards from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it is that charity or whatever good we do, so it's not rewardless. The reward will be given hereafter. So one of the reasons on which we say that Allah is just, because Allah has created a system of reward and punishment. So whoever do good, فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةً خَيْرًا يَرَى فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةً شَرًّا يَرَى Whosoever do a little bit of a good, he will see it. Where? Maybe in this world, maybe hereafter, maybe both places. And whosoever do a little bit of bad deed, a bad word, a bad thought, a bad action, he will see or she will see it. Maybe in this world, maybe hereafter, or maybe both places. So it's the balanced life which Allah has given us. Allah has given us. If Allah give us the challenges, the calamities which comes to us, the natural calamities, or maybe at times people are stuck at a war zone and so on. So it's not that Allah will not give them reward. Rewards of Allah is over there. The child which dies in his or her infancy, what was his or her, what reward he will give? It's in the hadith that Allah will give him the authority to intercede for his or her parents. When the angels will ask that child to enter into paradise, the child will say, no, I will not enter into paradise until my parents are allowed to enter into the paradise. So there are rewards for the believers, for the rewards. People who believe in Allah, they believe on the system. Another thing, in Quran Allah says, "Inna Allah ya'muru bil adli wal insaf." Allah has sent prophets and apostles to establish a society with justice. And for this, Imam Hussein, we will continue this topic tomorrow night. But this justice, why? One of the reasons of uprising of Imam Hussein alayhi salam was that to establish a society based on divine justice. Because there will be tyrant rulers. There will be injustice in this society which was been prevailing for many years. Imam Ali tried to eliminate that injustice. Imam Ali said that I have taken that Khilafat and leadership to bring back the true and pure teachings of Quran and the Holy Prophet on its place. And this is one of the meanings of justice. Waz'u shay ala mawdi'i, that to bring that thing on its proper place. So I am bringing those teachings of Quran, the pure teachings of Quran, the real teachings of the Holy Prophet on its back to its place. And that's what Imam Hussein said when he was traveling towards Kufa, traveling towards Karbala, that my uprising is to bring back the teachings of my grandfather, Holy Prophet, and my father, Ali ibn Abi Talib. So one of the reasons of uprising, if we are with the uprising of Imam Hussein al-Islam, we need to bring the teachings of Quran and the Holy Prophet and Amir al-Mu'mineen in our lives and in our society. So uprising of Imam Hussein was for justice. And for that reason, Imam sent his brother and his cousin Muslim ibn Aqil to Kufa and asked him to go and see the situation with his own eyes and evaluate the situation so he can come over there or not. Hazrat Muslim, when he entered into Kufa, many people came and welcomed him. Hazrat Muslim tried to bring them and get the allegiance for Imam Hussein alayhi salam. But when Yazid was being informed, he sent Ibn Ziyad over there. And Ibn Ziyad, when he entered into Kufa, he disguised himself with the veil of women. You see these Yazidis, you see these followers of Yazid, when they want to run away from the battlefield, they follow the ancestors like Ibn Ziyad. Whenever they want to disguise, they wear the burqa, they wear the veil like women's, and they try to run away from that sense. So they follow their people. We should follow our leaders, our divine leaders, our brave leaders. Muslim ibn Aqil, and when Ibn Ziyad entered, he entered in to the house of one of the companions of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. When Hazrat Muslim saw him, he wanted to behead him at the same moment. But the wife of that companion said, "No bloodshed in my house." So Hazrat Muslim said, "To respect your desire, there will be no bloodshed." Allahu Akbar. And that night in the Salat of Maghrib and Isha, when Hazrat Muslim led that prayers, the masjid was full of the companions and the lovers and followers of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. But after, when he finished Isha, there were only three people. And when he stepped out of the masjid, there were even those three people, the third person was also fled away. Allahu Akbar. Hazrat the Muslim was all alone. There were many people who were being taken as prisoners. Many were being killed in Kufa. Remember that. Many of the followers of Imam Hussein were being killed by Ibn Ziyad. Many were being imprisoned, and some of them were being bought out by Ibn Ziyad. Allahu Akbar. Hazrat Muslim, from one street to another, doesn't know where to go, where to hide, where to get the shelter. He came to a door, knocked at the door and said, Can I have a glass of water? Can I have some water? Allahu Akbar. An aged lady came to the door and said, "Who you are? Don't you know that there's a curfew in the city? No one can roam around, no one can be seen out. Ibn Ziyad will take you as a prisoner." He said, "I do not have any home." He said, "Who you are?" He said, I am the Safir of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. I am his brother. I am his cousin." Allahu Akbar. That aged lady said, "Are you from the family of my Mawla, by Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib?" He said, "Yes, I am Muslim ibn Aqil." Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. That lady offered him to come inside. Come inside. Allahu Akbar. Hazrat Muslim got some shelter for some time. For some time. He started offering his prayers and offering salat. And the lady said, "You must leave this house because I'm afraid that someone will go and tell Ibn Ziyad that you have taken shelter in my house." And that's what happened. And that's what happened in the middle of the night when Muslim stepped out of this house. He saw that they have been all around. He has been surrounded by more than 300 men were being sent by Ibn Ziyad. Muslim fought bravely. The commander of those 300 men sent a message for Ibn Ziyad and said, "Send more people." Ibn Ziyad said, "I have given you 300 people. What you want to do with all these people, his army men?" He said, "You don't know. He is the nephew of Ali ibn Abi Talib. He is Muslim ibn Aqil. He is no normal person. He is not a common man. He is a Muslim ibn Aqil who fought many people, who killed many people. And in the end, he has been hurt. He has been taken, imprisoned. Allahu Akbar. He was taken to Ibn Ziyad and he was bleeding, his body was bleeding. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ibn Ziyad said to Muslim Ibn Aqil, I can spare your life. If you say one thing, if you give one thing, just give allegiance to Yazid ibn Muawiyah and I will spare your life." He said, "No, you don't know us. You don't know who we are. We are the followers of Hussein ibn Ali. I have given my allegiance and my allegiance will be with him till my death." Allahu Akbar. Ibn Ziyad said, "Why you did not kill me at that time when you had the chance? You have killed and you can attack me from behind. He said, "Ibn Ziyad, we are not from the family where we hit people and kill people from the behind. We do not attack people from behind. We are the people who fight face to face. We are the family members of Ali ibn Abi Talib who have never attacked a person from his back. And I, being his family member, would have never been attacked, you or any other person, from behind. Allahu Akbar. Ibn Zayd said, no, if you have not attacked me at that time, now it is my turn, and now I will behead you. Allahu Akbar. He said, do you have any desire? Do you have any last wishes? He said, Muslim ibn Aqil. He said, yes, I have three wishes. It is something, a lesson for us. That how strong Muslim ibn Aqil was, how brave Muslim ibn Aqil was, till his last breath he was be steadfast, and he was on the allegiance of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. He said, yes, I have three things, I have three wishes. I have a loan on my shoulders, on my neck. I have in debt. Sell my sword and give my debts and my loan back. He said, it will be done. He said, my second wish is that when you kill me, give me that honor to be buried like all other Muslims. Ibn Ziyad said, this is not possible. I will not give you that honor to be buried. Allahu Akbar. I will drag your body from one street to another. Allahu Akbar. A Muslim Ibn Aqil said, My third wish is just send a message for Hussein ibn Ali and tell him not to come to Kufa. Ibn Ziyad said that if he gave allegiance to Yazid, we are nothing to do with him. But if he stood against Yazid ibn Muawiyah, we will be against him. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Then Muslim ibn Aqil asked for water. Allahu Akbar. Water was being brought for him. Allah in a bowl. He wanted to take a sip. A drop of blood fell into his water. He returned it back. Again another bowl of water was being brought for him. Again a drop of water was being dropped in water, and he could not drink even a sip of water. I say, Assalamu alayka ya Muslim Aqil, Muslim ibn Aqil, because you have been associated with the martyrs of Karbala, with the shahada of Karbala. As they died thirsty, you will also die thirsty, and you have been the first one to be killed with that thirst. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Muslim ibn Aqil was taken on the roof of the castle, and he was being a person came and bring out his sword to behead a Muslim ibn Aqil. I don't know what happened. It's been written in some of the historic books, when he saw the enlightened and brightened face of Muslim ibn Aqil, he got afraid and said, no, I cannot behead Muslim ibn Aqil. Yet another person came forward, bring out his sword and beheaded Muslim ibn Aqil. And before being beheaded, just Muslim ibn Aqil stood over there and said, Alayka minni salam, Ya Abdullah, my akhri salam to you, Ya Hussein. And Muslim ibn Aqil was being beheaded. His body was being thrown from the roof to the roof of the castle. His head was being hanged on the main gate of the Kufa. And his body was being dragged
from one street to another. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. My salam to Muslim Ibn Aqil. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. When Muslim was been beheaded, Imam Hussein, this news came to Imam Hussein alayhi salam. He said, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. He asked Hazrat Zainab to come close to him, and he said, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Hazrat Zainab asked, Brother Hussein, why you are repeating this verse, Quranic, what he said, Muslim has been killed. Hazrat Zainab said, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Hazrat Imam Hussein said, Bring the daughter of Muslim. When the daughter of Muslim came close to Imam Hussein alayhi salam, Imam Hussein pat on his head and just gave and kissed her. He has his little daughter said, What happened, my uncle? What happened? I have become orphan. My father has died. Imam said, Yes, your father has been killed. You know what happened? When this news spread, the little daughter of Imam Hussein, Hazrat Sakina, came to console this little girl of Muslim Ibn Aqil and said, Don't worry, we are your sister. I said, Oh Hussein, Oh Sakina, what will happen? Who will console you? When Imam Hussein will be killed.
As-salamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah وعلى الأرواح التي حلت بفنائك عليك مني السلام الله أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار ولا جعله الله آخر العهد مني لزيارتكم السلام على الحسين وعلى علي ابن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين السلام عليك يا أهل بيت النبوة ومعدن الرسالة ومختلف الملائكة ومهبة الوحي اللهم نسألك وندعوك باسمك العظيم الأعظم العز الأجل الأكرم وبدم مقتول بكربلاء يا الله 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 ربنا تقبل منا هذا القليل oh Allah accept this little ibadat from us give us tawfiq to be brave like Muslim Ibn Aqil oh Allah give us tawfiq to honor him and visit his grave in Kufa oh Allah give us tawfiq to practice according to the teachings of Quran and Ahlul Bayt. Oh Allah, give us tawfiq to be steadfast on the religion. Oh Allah, give us tawfiq to be amongst the companions of Imam al-Asr, ajjalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif. Oh Allah, hasten his reappearance and give us tawfiq to be among his true and pure followers. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه
وعلى آبائي في هذه الساعة وفي كل الساعة وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك توعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا. ما تم حسين.